I kind of thought I'd be preaching on something else this morning, but you know, you have to listen for that still small voice. And God spoke something to me, and you know, sometimes it requires more work. When God's telling you something, you know, you think you're going in a certain direction, but it's well worth it. I was walking up in God's country, which is Maine. For those of you who don't know that, you should. Maine is Maine. And I very distinctly heard Holy Spirit say to me, walking in the promises. And so I had to go about discovering what he wanted me to speak on that. And this is the passage that I chose, 2 Peter 1, 1 to 11. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of God, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. In order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble, for in this way the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Thank you for your word, Lord. If you're like me, I'm sure that you probably have made a promise with good intentions, and for one reason or another, you failed to keep that promise. The Father is not like this. Aren't you glad? Always keeps his promises. He keeps covenant with his children. A few scriptures from the Old Testament and the New. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent or change his mind. In other words, has he said and will he not do it? 1 Samuel 15:29. The glory of Israel will not lie or change his mind. And from Romans 4, 21, being fully assured that that which he had promised, he was also able to perform. And of course, that scripture is referring to Abraham and Sarah as well, to provide an heir when, by natural understanding or circumstances, it was a very distinct impossibility. But he believed God, and it was reckoned unto him as righteousness. A promise is defined as a declaration that one will do or refrain from doing something. To promise is to engage to do, to bring about, or provide, such as giving your word, speaking that you will do something, and then making good on what you have spoken. Also defined, the word divine is of or proceeding from God. Therefore, a divine promise is God's assurance that he will do that which he says or said he would do. As I've already said, I entitled this message, Walking in the Promises. And I know that sometimes some of what has been promised to us might appear to be unreachable, or might appear that it can't be accomplished or it won't ever happen. But the operative word there is appear. Amen? So how can you, or is it possible, to enter in and experience all he has promised, being filled up to all the fullness of God, Ephesians 3:19? The answer, of course, is yes. Not only are the promises are they available, but they are for us to possess and to experience. But there's a little bit of a issue here. And what is that? Just because God has promised it, something is required by you and I called faith to possess those things, to receive those things, to walk in those things, to look at those things, even as it says, he spoke that which was not as if it was. And that's faith. And I know you're going to say, or you're thinking, I don't always have that faith. However, you know the one who provides that faith, and so that's where you have to go, and you have to keep going until that faith is realized by you and I. So, how are we going to do this? Number one, divine understanding from verses 1, 2, and 8. All those verses use the phrase knowledge of God or knowledge of Jesus Christ. And verse 1, it talks about receiving a divine revelation by faith. And you're not going to receive it unless you get that revelation. But you know the one, Hebrews 13:8. He is the same yesterday, today, and yea, forever. He's not going to change. So it talks about receiving faith in righteousness, being made righteous by the blood of Christ, there in verse 1. But though it's given to you and available to you, you still need to possess it. You still need to take it by faith and then walk in it. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. The second thing there in verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge or understanding of God. So I would say that as you step out into the realm of faith, that grace and peace are released for you and to you to confirm or affirm his understanding or his will, so that you can then, by faith, walk in God's will in your circumstances or in a general sense for your life. Likewise, in verse 8, using that word knowledge or understanding, it says, if these qualities, and it's referring to those things in verses 5 to 7, which we'll get to in a bit, if these qualities are yours and increasing, it's talking about as you mature in your faith there, or in your walk of faith, in your relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you will bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Colossians 1:10. So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing or growing in the knowledge of God. So, if you don't have the understanding that you need, you got to do something about it. You have to seek God. You have to go before God. You have to pray. You have to ask for his understanding, so that then you can, in turn, walk in the promises of God that he's said and that are available to every blood-bought believer. Secondly, number 2, we need a divine relationship, verses 3 and 4. It says in verse 3, his power, talking about not some earthly power or willpower, it's talking about dunamis, it's talking about God's very power. His power is released by the Holy Spirit in you and through you. It says he has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Now, again, this is a partnership. This power is released in partnership or relationship with Holy Spirit in particular, but ultimately Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as well. So when you stay connected in divine relationship or your relationship with the Lord, divine power is accessible and available to assure success and fulfillment of his will and his purposes, both in you and through you, for his glory. Now, Have you ever thought that you couldn't do something? And then you found, after a while, through seeking God and pressing in, you found that it was possible. Doesn't matter if it makes sense or doesn't make sense. It's possible through Him. And it's through our relationship with Him. 1 Peter 1, 3 to 5. Talks about a living hope there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an obtained an inheritance, or what? His promises, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You can take that one to the bank. You who are protected by what? The dunamis power of God. Through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So, the last time I checked, God isn't finished with you yet. You're still, if I pinch you, yeah, you're gonna react. There's flesh and blood there. You haven't reached your final resting place. So God's still at work. So things He's spoken that are yet unfulfilled, God has that opportunity as you partner with Him in relationship, staying connected, getting His perspective, His understanding of what's really going on. Because even on some of our best days, it's possible that we can get fooled or deceived. And that's why we have to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the scripture says elsewhere. I don't have that one. I'm just getting that one for you. So it says there, back to 2 Peter in verse 4, He has granted to us, or the Amplified says, He bestowed on us His precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers, partners, or sharers of the divine nature. That's that same word, koinonos, from koinonia, or having fellowship or relationship with Almighty God. 1 John 3:2 speaks about the process of becoming more and more like Him. Beloved, we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him just as He is. So there's a twofold process here in motion. We are being changed. That's a good thing, even though sometimes it doesn't feel like it, right? Change is good. But the very important second thing is that it says in that scripture, we will see Him as He really is. And so sometimes we think our theology is accurate until we get a revelation. God changes our viewpoint and shows us what's really happening, or shows us who he really is. And that is a process that's going to continue in you until the day you die or get translated into the heavenlies. There's always a deeper revelation of him. We haven't got it all figured out. We haven't, you know, got it to a manageable thing that we can understand this now. We got it. No. It's a constantly changing, evolving thing where we gain a deeper and deeper understanding of him and of his ways. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, you would think that it would say there, at least I would think it would say there, cleanse ourselves or cleanse myself from all defilement of flesh, my sin. But it says, and spirit. And that's because when we're not living the life he intends for us, the righteous life he intends for us, our spirit gets tainted in that sense. It gets impacted, let's say it that way. So we need to strengthen our relationship as best we can, but then we have to trust him for the rest. You can do your best, and that's all he expects, and then God's got to take it from there. My friends, that's good news, because he's willing to take it from there, because you and I cannot and will never be able to do it on our own. We need his help. And that highlights the importance of staying in divine relationship. Don't take it for granted. He wants to take you to another place in your relationship with him. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I love that scripture, and somebody wrote it right over here. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, Psalms 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. What's the everlasting way? His way. Not your way. Not my way. But his way. Walking in the promises. Number three. How are we going to be able to walk in the promises? Divine character and qualities. Verses 5-7. Now we could spend hours on these things that it mentions in those three verses. It says, applying all diligence in your faith, or in other words, exercise your faith, what faith you have, and ask the Lord for the faith you need to exemplify Jesus to those around you. Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. When it says there in verse 5, supply, or applying all diligence, or supply moral excellence, and so forth, the whole list that is there in those verses, it's talking about walking in his grace, the grace that you need to do these things. We might want to apply moral excellence or brotherly kindness or perseverance, but if we're truthful, we know on our own it's really not going to happen. We may give it our best, but without God, we're going to fall short in any of these things. But it's talking about appropriating and walking in his grace, moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, or love. These are qualities that God supplies and you walk in by his strength and by his grace. And you're never going to outgrow your need for his strength and for his grace. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Likewise, Romans 8:28-29. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. Can you say that? And we know that God causes all things to work together for good, even when it doesn't seem like it. To those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among brethren. So this process of being made into the image of Christ is a lifelong process. You know, sometimes, for example, I'm patient. You ever thought that or said that? And then all of a sudden, out it came. And you're like, where did that come from? It's because God's still, you're always learning patience. You're always learning perseverance. You're always learning brotherly kindness, and so forth, all these things. Divine character and qualities. He does the work and extends the grace, and you and I need to submit and experience it. And that is the hard part, because I want to do it myself. That's something you've probably heard or thought yourself, or you heard your children say. They want to do it on their own. And you and I might want to do it on our own, but we need help. And he gives help in this process of being made into the image of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are what? Being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. So it's talking about being made into the image of Christ. It's talking about a lifelong process of responding to the dealings of God, being open to the Holy Spirit, and allowing Him to do the work which we are unable to do. The fourth thing is divine calling. How are you going to walk in His promises? Well, you have a calling. He called you. He placed that calling upon your life. We're not talking specifically here about a ministry, although it does involve that. It's talking about, ultimately, God has a purpose for your life. Be all the more diligent, it says there, about His calling and choosing you. Verse 10, 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 10. Be all the more diligent about His calling and choosing you. It also says in verse 3, who called us by His own glory and excellence. So it's something God has ordained or chosen or spoken, even, if you will. And I like it in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, I think it is, where it says He knew you before you were born. Huh? What? He knew you before you were born. And He formed your inward parts. I mean, it doesn't compute, but this is the God we know and love. 1 Corinthians 7:20. Let a man remain in that condition in which he was called. If I could paraphrase that, I would say something like, just be yourself. Be who God created you to be. You don't have to be me. I don't have to be you. It's not a competition here. This is God's calling, individualized calling on each and every believer. And we have to come to grips with that. We have to come to terms with that. Otherwise, we're always striving to be like somebody else, or we're judging somebody else, when He just wants us to be happy with who He created us to be and to be content in that. Romans 11:29. The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Once God has decided His plan and purpose and will for you, He doesn't then say, oh, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have wanted that for that person. No, He's not going to change His mind. And we are born with divine DNA. We are born with a piece of Him. Because why? We are made in His image. Divine calling. So, I have a call of God on my life. You do too. And quite frankly, it was not my desire, it was not my idea to preach the gospel or to be a pastor. It was His idea. But I had to come to terms with that. I had to accept that, and knowing, Lord, I'm going to need some help here. I'm going to need You to help me become all that You ordained for me to be in this divine calling. And it's not, it's more than that. It's not about being a preacher or pastor. It's about being his child, ultimately, being his son, and relating to him as a dad. 1 Corinthians 9, 16 and 17 talks about having stewardship with what God has entrusted to us. First Corinthians 9. I had some markers, but even though I like the fans, it's blowing my pages everywhere. 16 and 17. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast about, for I am under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. Do you see it? That's where the reward comes. You don't feel adequate. You don't feel up to the task. And without him, you're not. But you have to constantly draw upon that pool of grace and strength which only he can supply in order to be fulfilled, to be content, and to be successful in that which God has called you to, which means accepting and walking in who the Lord created you to be and not comparing yourself with anyone else. And this will facilitate opening the door of his understanding and opportunities then for you to walk in that which he's ordained. This is the way he does things, for us to be able to walk fully and freely in his promises. And number five, how are we going to walk in these awesome promises that God has for us? Divine provision, of course, verse 11. 2 Peter 1, verse 11. Talks about your entrance, my entrance, my fulfillment of my calling being abundantly supplied. Not just having an ordinary life, but having an extraordinary life. That's what God's plan is for me. The entrance into his kingdom and his promises will be abundantly supplied to you. 1 Timothy 6:17. Fix your hope on God, who richly, same word as abundantly in 2 Peter 1, verse 11, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Do you know he wants you to enjoy him and to enjoy life and all the things of life? It's not meant to be a chore or an ordeal. These things are given to us. His promises and other things as well. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. This same word for abundantly in 2 Peter 1:11 is also in Colossians 3:16, which says, Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. That means you have to give it a home, and you have to allow it to be fulfilled, to accomplish God's purpose at any given time. And that's why when you may have read a particular scripture 5, 10, 50 times even, on that one day, it comes alive, because God has ordained for you on that day to get the revelation. And he's going to release that provision of understanding that is necessary. Colossians 2, 18 and 19. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize or your promises, really. Colossians 2. I'll get there. 18 and 19. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, Christ, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. You can have false growth in your life because God's not breathing on it. It's happening, it's by willpower or whatever, but it's not God-breathed growth. Something that we work up, or it appears as something that it really isn't. There's really no depth to it. But when God breathes on something, guess what? Life is going to come forth, and growth is going to come forth. And that's the place that you want to be. Need to walk in and be thankful for his provision or supply of his gifts, his grace, his power, and walk in the fullness of all his promises for his glory. And so, what it's saying, what I'm saying, and what the scripture repeatedly says as well, sometimes things appear, there it is, there's that word again, sometimes things appear as if they're out of reach. Such as you may have a health challenge, and so your circumstances may say, you're never going to get healed. You're always going to have to deal with this. But that does not align itself with the Word of God. I am the God who heals thee. And so just because you find yourself, whether it's healing or any other thing in your life, just because it appears that it may not be fulfilled does not mean that it won't be fulfilled. And oh, what a glorious day when you get that revelation, you get that release, and you realize that which God has promised to you, and you possess it. There's always more in God's word than you think. There's always more there for us. It's like, you know, you come to a banquet and you say, I've had enough now. And there's a sense of which that's true, because if you get into repetition, or you say, well, I'm going to read 5 chapters of the Bible today, when God wants you to read one verse, he's going to release a revelation in one verse that day, and you're like, I'm going to plow through. I'm going to read for an hour. I'm going to do this. He is not interested in your accomplishments. I got news for you. He's interested in a relationship with you and I. That's his heart. His heart is a love relationship. And to the degree we get that, we begin to grow and prosper and enter in and possess his promises. I hope you're hearing something this morning. When I was praying before the service, the Holy Spirit kept having me say, release, release, release. And so I believe there's a sense of which he's going to release something as you embrace and chew on and digest the word that went forth this morning. As you submit it to him, there's going to be a measure of release. It may not yet be the fullness, or yet again, maybe it will be the fullness. All I know is he had me praying, release, release, release. So whatever degree of release that is, anybody want that this morning? Anybody receive that this morning? And we give you the honor and praise and the glory, Jesus, for your continued work in our lives first and then through us. For your honor and glory, we pray and praise you. Amen.